Moncrief on News Talk.
Hair transplants are now commonplace, but what about a beard transplant? How do they work, and what are the circumstances in which someone needs one? Spencer Stevenson is a patient advocate in the hair transplant industry. Good afternoon, Spencer.
Hi, good afternoon.
Now, as I understand it, a certain amount of beard transplants are for for people who might have facial disfiguring and that kind of thing.
Yeah, correct. I mean, a number of people that want to kind of camouflage scarring that may have occurred over the years on their face and removed, beard hair follicles that they want to replace. It's quite a common practice. But also, it's now in vogue to sport kind of facial hair. And for people that are not able to grow full beards, the hair transplant industry, rightly or wrongly, has provided this as a service for people to enable them to get fuller looking beards, or so they hope.
And so what would be unsatisfying about the beards they're able to grow naturally? Is it there's a particular sort of beard that men are aiming at?
Well, not everybody can grow a full thick beard. Some people are unable to grow moustaches. Some people's beards are very patchy. So it's all down to the individual, not everybody grows a full thick luscious beard. And as a result of that, because of the hair restoration business, it is sold as a service to enable people to fill in any gaps or where they want to fill in hair that they haven't got on their face.
And the procedure for it, is it largely the same as a hair transplant on one's head?
For the most part, yes, it is. They remove hair from the donor region, which is from the back and sides of the head, and then put it in the recipient area, wherever that may be. But obviously, head hair is very different to beard hair. So it can have a different characteristic. And if it's not done correctly and in the right manner, in the right design, with the right artistry, it can look quite peculiar. It can look quite strange. And sadly, I deal with a vast number of people that have bit the bullet and bought into the Instagram adverts and traipsed off to Turkey. And I deal with a lot of repair patients that are sadly not been missold hair transplants and beard hair transplants, because, again, they generally get upsold a beard transplant whilst in the chair having a hair transplant. It's quite a grey, murky industry, and it's really important that your listeners do their due diligence and get educated on if they're going to have this done, that they get it done via a good ethical practitioner that knows exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, and so and if somebody implants head hair into your into your chin and over your mouth, if that's done incorrectly, what can it look like?
It can look very strange, unfortunately. Very strange indeed. Now, beard hair generally is, as we know, very different to head hair. Over time, it can take on a similar characteristic. However, as with a bad hair transplant, it can look very fake and unnatural. And I was sadly the recipient of a number of hair transplants because my journey constituted, for the most part, a repair journey. And now I kind of reside in the space educating people and helping them kind of navigate this space with, providing them accurate resources that I'm a part of, like the Bald Truth UK radio show, and direct them to really honest resources and articles that are housed on different blogs like Ape to Gentleman, and just try to give people a fighting chance, because it is, sadly, the business of hair restoration is somewhat the Wild West. And if you don't go about it with correct education, you are going to be, sadly, left in a much worse situation than you started out.
Yeah. Now, with the beard, though, if it goes horribly wrong, I assume you can just shave it off.
Well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? But there could be scarring, there could be pitting, there could be unsightly kind of clumps of hair. It's not as simple as you can just shave it all off. Hair restoration is surgery, and this is what people need to really, truly understand. You're not going for a filling here. And sadly, this is because people are missold the service, missold the treatment. And it's really important that, you know, anybody that's listening here that's interested in getting a beard hair transplant or a traditional hair transplant, they look into resources like the International Alliance of Hair Restoration Surgeons, so that when you do a consultation, you see if you're actually eligible for surgery, because the International Alliance of Hair Restoration Surgeons are kind of screened and accredited to, you know, make sure that they're providing an ethical service to the consumer.
Yeah. In what instances, then, would you not be eligible for such surgery?
Well, it all depends on supply versus demand, unrealistic expectations. You may have some medical underlying issues that you're not aware of. For the most part, expectations are key. It's really important that they're kept in check when going for a beard transplant or a hair transplant. But not everybody is an eligible candidate. And it's vital that your listeners really truly understand this, because we are dealing with a social media epidemic. Once you click on a hair transplant advert, the algorithm has you, and all these different deals and offers and services are popping up that are luring the vulnerable, desperate hair loss sufferer in. And like I say, I run out a website, spexhair.com, and I am inundated with inquiries, but the majority of them are from repair patients who need to seek a resolve for their unfortunate situation. And I featured in the media recently in a mainstream media publication in reference to a young gentleman, a French gentleman, that had a beard transplant, and he ended up taking his own life as a result of how unsatisfied he was and how upset and disfigured he was as a result, or he felt he was as a result of it. So it's serious, serious stuff, and it's nothing, you know, it shouldn't be taken lightly. And it's the reason it's a multi-billion-pound-a-year industry, is because there's a vast number of people out there that want to rectify any situation that they have, but hair and beards tend to be ever-increasing.
Yeah.
So it's really important people are astute and do their due diligence.
Yeah. Now, as I understand it, you've had 13 hair transplants.
So, correct. Yeah.
And so could you tell us why that is?
Absolutely. No problem whatsoever. I started out 25 years ago having hair transplants. I had four small procedures, uneducated, uninformed. I found the provider via the yellow pages. I'm nearly 50 now. But I started out at the age of 24 having hair transplants. I originally had four small procedures, but then that led me over the course of the last 20 plus years seeking repairs to resolve my situation, filling in scarring on the back of my head, further procedures to make the unnatural hairline that was much more natural and refined and thicker. So I am not a general rule. I'm not the control. If I had my time again and know what I knew now, I'd be able to do my entire, you know, kind of resolve my hair loss situation. It's been a couple of large procedures with an ethical clinic who would guide me in the short term, the midterm, and more importantly, the long term, because, you know, hair loss is progressive. You lose more hair over time. And it's important that people realize that venturing into anything hair restoration related, it is a long-term commitment. And that's the reason I've had so many hair transplants, in answer to your question.
Spencer, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's Spencer Stevenson there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.